You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
Cleared away by the Kings, picked up by Martinez. Martinez to Clifford, feed to the right side to Foley with a shot. Save, rebound, score! Alec Martinez has won the Stanley Cup for the Los Angeles Kings, and royalty reigns again in the NHL.
Hey, what's up, Kings fans, and welcome to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyRoyalty.com. I'm Scott Kimball, and we got a fun little show lined up for you, and we got a surprise as well. But before I get into that, I want to let you know that you can find us on social media. We are, of course, on Twitter. We're at two spots. You can find us at Hockey_Royalty and at Royalty_Pod. Got to make sure we get those underscores in. We're also on Facebook and on YouTube at Hockey Royalty. Now, the surprise that I was talking about. The band is back together. You know, for these past few podcasts, it's been a combination of two of the original three guys on this podcast. But today, just for you, our listening public, we've got us all back together. You know, I got to tell you, I'm an old school WWF wrestling fan. And this kind of feels like when Demolition added the third member, right? Because remember when Crush came in? Then the matches were either Axe and Crush or Smash and Crush or whatever. It was always a different combination. But now all three of our Demolition is back. So without further ado, I'm going to bring them in. I have got first the editor-in-chief of HockeyRoyalty.com. This is the guy that makes the world of hockey royalty go around. He is our leader. He is our presidente. He is the one, the only, Mr. Ryan Sykes. What's going on, brother?
Hey, Scott. How are we doing? It's good to have everyone in the same room.
I know. Is it? It's almost weird.
I know. I can leave if you want.
No. Not necessary. Don't.
Please don't.
Yeah, let's not do that. We're not going to let you. And that other voice you heard is, of course, the Emperor of Analytics. He is the Prince of PDO. He is the Count of Corsi. He is the incomparable, the one, the only, Russell Morgan. What's going on, Russ?
What's going on, guys? I like the Demolition Wrestling intro, like we're supposed to know what that is.
Right? Well, I'll talk about YouTube it.
I've looked it up, and the outfit
is it in black and white, Scott, from your era?
Sort of. But they had awesome music, and any old school wrestling fan will tell you that.
Good to know.
Absolutely. Just remember, they had some great wars with the Hart Foundation. And speaking of great wars, we had one last night. The renewal of the face-off series, or the freeway face-off, I'm sorry. The Anaheim Ducks were in town. They were at the, well, soon to be changed, but Staples Center. We're still going to call it the Stapler. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it looked grim for a while, guys, but our Kings did make a comeback, and we did end up getting a point out of it. What was your thoughts on the game? We'll start with you, Russ.
Lots to take away. Unfortunate second period. A lot of, it seems like it's weird. There's been a lot of strange goals going against the Kings. Second game in a row, wow. I think that a goal has gone in off Edler after one of the Kings goalies made a save. So, but besides that, there just seemed to be some defensive breakdowns that happened in that second period. I mean, the first period, they looked really good. I mean, mm-hmm. it was just a typical Kings period where they dominate in shots and puck possession, but they really just can't score any goals. And that's kind of been the MO of the Kings starts to the season. And then we saw what happened in the second period. And then in the third period, they just exploded. And it was almost like once I saw that that second goal go in for the Kings, you can kind of feel the energy in the building and just the momentum that was carrying towards the Kings side. And then you saw the second goal go in. And then finally, Dustin Brown just was able to get off the schneid and put one in to tie the game. And it was an exciting period. I mean, it was probably the loudest I've heard Staples Center since this whole season. But I mean, it's weird because I mean, you think about the Arizona game, you come out of that with a point and you're just like heads are down. And like this game, you come out of it with a point and you're like, okay, well, it's not the worst thing in the world, but still the same result. Kings unfortunately only have one win on the homestand, so. Yeah, it's kind of – yeah, it's I don't know
what yeah, to say. And don't forget, Carl Grunstrom had a goal waved off in that third period too, a little bit mm-hmm. of little bit of controversy. You know, it's kind of funny with the NHL. It seems like they change the rules all the time, whereas apparently that goal could have counted if they had said that Shattenkirk was going to play the puck, which, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and cry sour grapes or whatever it is, what it is, but – kind of looked to me on the replay that the guy tried to play the puck. I mean, he put it right into his own goaltender, but whatever, it is what it is. Ryan, your thoughts?
Yes, I guess I'll share my funny story with our listeners. So you guys all know I'm in Chicago, so 2 hours, later start time for me, so 9:30 last night. First intermission, my eyelids were getting pretty heavy, and sitting up in the second period, all of a sudden I woke up and I looked at my TV and it said, your streaming event has ended, and I missed the entire game. I looked at my phone. There were a ton of goals scored, but I went back. I watched it this morning. But yeah, obviously the Grunstrom goal. I read something on LA Kings Insider this morning from just some quotes and stuff. Kopitar kind of settling down the bench after that happened because that can kind of shake up some of the younger guys, make him lose confidence and whatnot. And it seemed like he kind of rallied them around to say, come on, let's do this. We can keep going. And they obviously did. They tied it back up. It was good to see Dustin Brown get off the schneid. He hadn't scored in quite some time. And Iafalo just keeps doing his thing. Yeah. But it would have been nice to get the 2 points over Anaheim. To me, it still feels like that Arizona game. Just because the homestand hasn't gone, the way I think we all had hoped it would go.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, and I don't want to be, Mr. One-Up guy, but I'm in upstate New York, so I'm 3 hours. I actually had to make a cup of coffee to start the game, so I know exactly how you feel. And I will tell you that after that fourth Anaheim goal, I was about ready to lose my mind. I'm like, you got to be, this can't be happening, right? And, but I'll tell you, props to the Kings for keeping it together and for making a comeback, because in all reality, this team could have just laid down and died right there at that
for
point.
For sure.
It's over. It's over. But you know what? We did get our perennial all-star Norris contender Drew Doughty back. And I'll tell you, if anybody thought that he was going to be eased back into the lineup, would they have been wrong? Oh, man. What did he have? Almost like 28 minutes last night, didn't he?
Yeah, almost 28 minutes. He had like what, over – he led the team in minutes in the first period. So just out of the gates, that was just telling that they weren't going to ease him back in. You know, I think it was the Pepto-Bismol that he had that got him going.
Yeah, I had a follower ask me like 21, 23 minutes. What do you think, the over-under? And I'm like – it's Drew Doughty.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, he's not going to be eased back into it.
Right.
And he even mentioned that he had been, I think, or Jim Fox mentioned that he was wanting to get back on the ice just like a month ago. And they were like, no, pump the brakes. We got to hold you off for a bit. So, I mean, you can just tell, like, that's just the player we've known Drew to be. I mean, he's always going to be a resilient player. He's never really been hurt throughout his career. This is really one of the more major injuries he's suffered. So for him to come back as quick as he did and play the minutes that he did and have the impact that he did, that it was a good sign for the Kings going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think about that, Ryan?
Yeah, it was a very, very cool moment to have him back. You know, I love seeing, you know, Doughty quarterbacking the power play unit, the first power play unit, and having Dursey on the second one. It just makes that makes the special teams so much more formidable, you know, from an offensive standpoint, which we all know has been kind of a hot topic, you know, over the last several seasons, just scoring goals. So, yeah, it was good to see. But I thought it was a little interesting that he said he hadn't been this nervous, Doughty. He said he hadn't been this nervous since maybe his first NHL game.
Yeah, I'm like, when he said that, I was thinking, like, the Stanley Cup Finals. Did you nervous at all?
Yeah, it was nothing.
Just or the Olympics game. Or anything. But just, I guess, yeah. It's just, I guess he was just kind of nervous just to, I guess, more or less just to test out the knee and just see how it was in terms of an injury standpoint. So I
guess what it was.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, when you're a player that plays like as many minutes as he does, you want to make sure that your body is able to kind of catch up with your mind and all the decisions you're making. And after he said after the first two shifts, he was ready to go. So,
yeah, good sign. I was kind of watching him solely focused on it when I was awake. Solely focused in on him through his first few shifts, just watching how he skated and stopped and start and stuff like that. And he looked fine to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, as Todd said, we'll kind of see how it goes as, you know, the wear and tear starts to take its effect.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I'll tell you, this time that he's had off might actually help him later on in the season if his knee is indeed fully healthy, because he got, you know, over a month of rest. Really.
Yeah, 16 games. Yeah. You know? Yeah, so, good. He'll be 32 in 7 days.
Yeah, so there could be a silver lining on all this. And Ryan, you mentioned Sean Dursey earlier, and you know what? Dursey has had at least 1 point in all three games he's played for the Kings since being called up. Now, it's a very small sample size. I get it. But you know what? Is this kid for real? I mean, because I'll tell you, he looks comfortable in the LA lineup. He really does.
I think what's telling to me the most about his comfortability is his quick decision-making. You know, back there at the blue point, he's not afraid to shoot the puck. Like, he's not hesitant or anything. He knows exactly what he wants to do. That tells me that's a player that's ready for his time in the NHL.
And I tell you what, you just came up with a new word, and I love it. Comfortability.
Comfortability. Yeah, we'll roll with that.
Yeah, we'll have to run that by Demolition, see what they think.
Yeah, good Lord.
Russ, your thoughts on Sean Dursey?
Yeah, he's been, I mean, he's almost been even more than I thought he would be. I thought he'd have some nerves coming into the NHL, but yeah, he's been doing a lot of the plays that we saw him do when he was with the Rain. I know last year he had his ups and downs in terms of his defensive playmaking, but his offense has been pretty much what we kind of have expected. I mean, and during that IFL second goal to make it 4-3, they had McClellan had Doughty and Dursey out there together. And I was actually just about to tweet out something about seeing that. And then sure enough, IFL scores a goal. And I was like, oh, well, maybe that's something that they should look further into, is bringing some more offense from the blue line. I know the Bannerman posted last night that the Ducks had two goals from defensemen last night in last night's game, and the Kings have only had two goals from the Kings blue line all year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there needs to be some sort of like offense coming from the blue line. And that's exactly what Dursey's been able to bring. And he's showing that in the box score in each game so far.
And Doughty's goal came in the opener.
yeah. The first game.
That's true. But you know, guys, we've said it over and over again, you know, before Dursey was brought up, that once you get past Doughty, the Kings basically have the same five defensemen as far as style-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, defensive-minded first, and that's, of course, what you want in your defenseman, but yeah, it's obvious that the offense is sorely lacking from the blue line. And, you know, if Dursey can keep this up, you know, yeah, I know he's not on the left side, and that's kind of what Rob Blake wants, is the quote-unquote young, dynamic left defenseman, right? I get it. But sometimes you got to take what you can get. And well,
they could find that, you know, Alex Hedler's here for 1 year, presumably. They could find that in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So
Brent Clark.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But there was one person that was notably missing from last night's game, and that was Brendan Lemieux. Brendan Lemieux was suspended 5 games by the NHL for the biting incident, which we'll just call Bitegate. Just, Brady Tkachuk.
Bite Tyson.
during their game on Saturday. Of course, that stirred up quite a bit of controversy. Tkachuk had some choice words to say about Lemieux, and Jonathan Quick jumped into his teammate's defense like all good teammates do. So, fellas, what's your thoughts on the whole incident, the suspension, and all the hullabaloo around it?
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of lead, I mean, it's hard to see on the video where it actually happened. I'm certainly not defending Brendan Lemieux in any case, but, you know, I don't see what Brady Tkachuk was trying to do, pushing Blake Lizotte out of the crease there with 6 minutes left when he wasn't even doing anything. Like, he wasn't disrupting the goaltender or anything like that.
Right.
So I like him coming to his defense for sure. I mean, the Kings need players like that on this roster, the gritty type. And that's why that fourth line has been so successful this season, is because of, you know, the tenacity of Lizotte and Lemieux. And then also you have the scoring touch in Kaliev, which, I mean, color me surprised that that actually worked out.
Yeah, I know, right?
But, you know, kind of circling back, it's hard to see on the video where he actually may have bit him. But obviously, yeah, you know, Tkachuk came up with some blood on his it looked like the inside of his palm, which isn't Lemieux wearing a mouth guard or
something? I mean, it could have fallen out. I mean, who knows? I mean, you're talking about a scrum at this point, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. Again, like you just said, Ryan, the video, it's so hard to tell anything in that video as far as what actually happened. You know, of course, I don't condone biting. That's kind of, you know, I don't know, disgusting, to say the least. I don't know if I would want to, you know, bite somebody anyways. But, you know, maybe it was just as a reaction to having his hand shoved into his face underneath his visor. Maybe he was thinking he was Ozzy Osbourne for a second. I don't know. You know, I have no idea. But it's going to hurt missing Brendan Lemieux for 5 games, because regardless of what you think and what he did, he has become a very integral part of this team. Well, so man, over the past few games, I mean, look what he brings. And here's the other thing: for all the, you know, the prospects and all the talent that's coming forward, you know, through the pipeline, the Kings are suddenly not a very physical team anymore. It used to be you would never push the LA Kings around, ever. And now, not so much so, right? Mm-hmm. So Brendan Lemieux brought that physicality and that, you know, I want to say tough guy, maybe. I don't know, you know, if that's the best way to put it.
We'll go with that. The gritty making, and the sandpaper. This is the show to make up words.
Yes, exactly.
but yeah, I mean, just to kind of bounce off what you said, you know, the Kings are, after last night, they're now 0-5-2 without Lemieux in the lineup. They're 9-3-2 with him in. So there's just something about having him in the lineup that gives them an edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was just – I think he got actually lucky. He only got 5 games from what it sounded like, they only could identify one biting situation or one time where he actually bit Tkachuk, and I think Tkachuk had mentioned that he bit him twice. I mean, it looked like during the scrum that Tkachuk kind of was pushing down on Lemieux's face and probably got his hand, like if you push down on somebody, you get your palm in their mouth, and then Lemieux's trying to get his hand out of his face. But I mean, it's a warranted suspension, obviously. We're not trying to condone biting or anything. I mean, especially with COVID going on.
Absolutely.
You don't want players touching other players in that kind of way. Yeah,
especially with what the Senators just went through.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, but I mean, 5 games, yeah, it makes sense. And he's just lucky he didn't get more. And but yeah, like you mentioned, Scott, there's not really any other players on the Kings that kind of can bring what Lemieux can bring. And that's something that we kind of expected this season. The Kings really aren't the old big Kings that we kind of remembered in terms of grinding those Daryl Sutter type teams. They're really kind of a small team and more of like a finesse team, I guess. And that's a big loss to lose for Lemieux when the Kings haven't won a game with him in the lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
Or with him out of the lineup.
And they did mention in the Department of Player Safety video that with Lemieux being a repeat offender, he has been suspended twice before. That played a factor into the 5 games as well. So, yep, going to have to live without him. 4 more games. So they're going to have to make do. And I'll tell you, Carl Grunstrom replaced him last night. And Grunstrom, he plays that physical game as well. Not quite to the edge that Lemieux does. I don't think there's not a lot of guys that can get to that point. But
no, I think he's up there, though, with Dustin Brown in terms of hits, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean,
absolutely.
That's the type of game he brings. He's almost kind of that power forward.
It's also his birthday today. So happy birthday, Carl.
Tonka.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
But yeah, the Kings need that. I mean, there's this lack of like almost like a power forward in the top six. I mean, you think about with the second line right now with Iafallo, Danault, and Arvidsson. Yeah, those are all great players, but you don't really have that kind of grit that Milan Lucic's kind of brain style of hockey that we saw a couple years ago, or even on the top line with Dustin Brown, who's getting up there in age, and Kopitar has always been who he is, and Kempe is just kind of flying around the ice. So there's really that kind of lack of that Lemieux or Lucic type style of play in the top six, and that hopefully that's something that they address maybe in the next offseason.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. And I'll tell you, not for nothing, there is a guy that's down in Ontario right now that does throw some hits every once in a while. He's got speed to burn, and that's Austin Wagner, but we're not going to bring that up. I don't know about half the listeners just tuned right out. I mean,
I think a hockey player just missed a breakaway goal for
Michigan. I was just going to make it across the country. I was just going to make that joke.
I know you were, Ryan. You're like the king of dad jokes around here.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? I tell you, we've covered the forwards. We've covered the defensemen. Now let's cover some prospect talk here. Brant Clark. Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking of Brendan Lemieux. Sorry. Brant Clark. He was snubbed by Team Canada for the World Juniors, quite surprisingly, actually. Everybody thought he was a shoe-in. I don't believe there's been an official reason given yet, has there?
No.
I just think they didn't choose him.
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't know if there was, maybe some other talk that came out that, for whatever reason, they decided not to. But I'll tell you, if they're skipping over Clark, then this Team Canada must be absolutely loaded.
Well, I mean, you bring that up, Scott, but I have their preliminary, their selection camp roster in front of me. They have just 2 right-shot defensemen on their selection camp roster, which kind of is even more of a head-scratcher. I mean, granted, obviously, they'll be expecting some of the lefties to play on their offside, but don't you want a guy on your team that currently leads the OHL or OHL among defensemen and points?
Right. Like, I don't know. This is just totally befuddling to me.
Yeah, I don't want Kings fans to like think this is like something to do with or there's a problem with his development or type of games. I mean, there's been big World Junior snubs in past seasons. I mean, Tyler Toffoli has been snubbed. Max Domi has been snubbed. Darnell Nurse been snubbed. So there's been players that have been snubbed before going into the World Juniors. And it's funny, Ryan, you found that Mark Iannetti article where they asked him a couple questions about it. And he was he sounded really disappointed, and I can't blame him. I mean, you think about when you draft a player with the type of caliber and development that Brant Clark can bring, I mean, scouting departments look at the World Juniors as almost like a next step in their development in terms of a big event for them. So for Brant Clark not to get that opportunity, it's kind of a disappointment because you want him to play those big games and show off his skill to not only to the management staff, but also to the fans as well. So that way they have something to look forward to. And now he's not going to have the opportunity. And there's really, Scott, there's just no reason that given why. I mean, like you mentioned, Ryan, too, it's just he's leading the OHL in points for defensemen and at like an alarming rate, at like one of the best rates in the last like 5 or 10 years. I mean, he's playing ridiculously good hockey. He was just given the captaincy for Barry. So there's really, it's just really a befuddling decision really by Team Canada.
Yeah. And just to take that one step further, he leads OHL defensemen in points and the guys behind him have like at least 2 or 3 games in hand on him.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like he had one huge game and he's basically riding that to the points. I mean, he's been just consistent across the board.
Yeah. I just don't get it from a roster construction either. You know, you have 2 right shot defensemen and then you got all lefties. Whatever. It's their problem now, I guess.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you that maybe that'll put a definite big chip on his shoulder going into next
year. For sure. So, yeah.
Well, you know. I mean, it's going to be a good World Juniors stamp from a Kings fan standpoint. I mean, Brock Faber was named to the U.S. roster. I mean, he's presumably, I don't want to make any assumptions at this point now after Brant Clark, but I mean, he's presumably going to make the roster. And I think he's probably going to wear a letter because he's one of the few returnees coming back to the team. So Brock Faber will be there. You have, I mean, the Finnish squad's going to be full of Kings, presumably, as well. I mean, you have Kasper Simon-Tyvel, you have Markkanen in net, Atu Janssen, or Janssen, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but he's presumably going to be there as well. So there's a lot of Kings prospects that are going to be filling rosters coming up in the next couple of days as well.
Yeah, do you think they're going to have as many as they did last year?
I mean, it doesn't look like it. I mean,
yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, Brant Clark or
Byfield.
Byfield, yeah. Excuse me, Byfield there. Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't look like that. But, I mean, I guess that's kind of a good thing. You don't want, you know, when you're a team that has a lot of good prospects in the World Juniors, that means you're drafting really high in the last couple of years. So, hopefully, that kind of tailors off a little bit in the next couple of years.
And just for our listeners, what are the dates of the actual World Junior tournament?
Ooh, I think it starts December 26th, I want to say.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I believe
usually right at Christmas time is when it.
Yeah, I believe USA starts out with Finland. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, I mean,
December 26th through Wednesday, January 5th.
Yeah,
because just because you know, Quinton Byfield is going to be back soon. And we're presuming that he's going to play for Canada in the World Juniors. So
I don't think he is, Scott.
No, he wasn't named to the roster.
Yeah, he wasn't named to their selection camp roster today.
Oh, so I missed that. I did not pay attention, Scott, and then shoot your mouth off. Great.
No worries.
What else is new there?
No, you're not. I mean, you're not the only one. There were other people who thought that could have been a possibility. I mean, I never really saw that happening. I mean, you think about for the Kings right now with. I mean, you look at their history, too. I mean, Rasmus Kupari, a first-round draft pick, went to the World Juniors and had a severe leg injury that lost him a whole year. Yeah. Gabe Vilardi was lost a whole year in development. So you've had these first-round picks that have lost years in development for injuries that weren't suffered around Kings activities. So to send Quinton Byfield, your most prized prospect now super, for the future, to over to Team Canada to kind of just, here, take him, and just kind of hopefully take care of him. I mean, that didn't really make a lot of sense. And once I saw Byfield skating with the Kings a couple days ago in the red jersey at practice, I was like, okay, that makes sense. He's most likely not going to go to Canada now. They have him skating with the team and actually the Kings too. So who knows? Maybe if he does go down to Ontario, get some conditioning games. Mm-hmm. But I mean, all in all, if we'll see, we're recording this before practice today. Who knows? Maybe he's in a regular contact jersey today and we see him a lot sooner than we think. I mean, it was just an ankle fracture. And Scott, you're a paramedic, and you know kind of like how those bone injuries heal a lot quicker than they would any type of muscle injury. So maybe we see Quinton Byfield in the Kings lineup sooner rather than later.
Well, not to mention that he's strong as an ox. So, I mean, that is, you know.
Huge. Such a big guy. It's crazy. And,
you know, I tell you, again, I was just presuming that he was going to go. But to me, I got to tell you something, guys. in my head, it made no sense to have him play. I understand the World Juniors are a big deal, and everybody, mm-hmm. and I get it. Players want to represent their country. I totally understand that. But he's already played in two of them, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. You know, I think it's time now for the Kings. And honestly, here's another unpopular opinion. This is exactly why I don't like NHL players going to play in the Olympics. Because I get that. I understand you want to play for your country. You want to play for a gold medal. Totally get it. But let's say that your NHL team, be it the Kings or whoever, is riding high. You're in first place or you're a strong contender for the cup. You send one of your star players over to the Olympics and all of a sudden they tear an ACL or mm-hmm. they suffer a bad injury. And now your season could very well be sunk over a non-team activity. So, mm-hmm. and again, that's not a very popular opinion. Every time I say that, people just look at me like, oh, you're crazy. Well, be that as it may. I've been called much worse. So, that's just why it always kind of really scares me to see any kind of, you know, Kings activities involved in the, or like, remember the World Cup of Hockey when Gabrick, he did something to his leg. Kimmer, he broke his leg or something like that.
Yeah, I remember. It's interesting you bring that up.
And he just wasn't the same afterwards.
Yeah, I've kind of thought the same thing in terms of the Olympics. I mean, you talk to players, especially like Drew Doughty, who's constantly talking about the Olympics and his strive to go back there and be a part of Team Canada, especially this coming Olympic Games. But yeah, you look back, there's been some big injuries. I remember John Tavares went down with a huge injury and actually had to miss the rest of the year for the Islanders. And that was during a big time for the Islanders at that time. So, I mean, you look at the Olympics, there's still kind of like this kind of lingering question in the air, whether it will actually move forward this year with, I mean, you look at all the COVID situations going on across the league. I mean, the Senators had a situation. Just look at the AHL. There's games being canceled left and right now. So there's still this kind of big question mark whether it's still going to take place. But I think I think the Olympics should just go back to the amateur players. I mean, this is tough for me to say because I love watching the Olympics. I mean, there's been some great – I mean, you remember the Oshie shootout?
Yes.
I mean, there's just been some remarkable – yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's been some remarkable games. But I wouldn't mind them going back to the World Cup of Hockey. And
yes.
Because then you can have it during the off season. You wouldn't really have to worry about breaking seasons up. The problem I had with the last World Cup of Hockey is I wasn't really a big fan of the North American team.
Really?
I
mean, you didn't like that?
No, it was fun to watch. But then I'm like, who are they representing? And I mean, is anyone in the U.S. really rooting for the North America team over the U.S. team? Or is anyone from Canada really rooting for the North American team over the Canadian team?
Come on, man. They were the young guns.
Yeah,
they were Billy the Kid. Come on.
Fun, like, experiment. I was like, okay, well, that kind of takes the actual representation of the country out. I mean, at that time, the U.S. lost, like, Austin, all these great players, and Canada lost all these great players. Like, I think McDavid and McKinnon were on that team, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, that was, like, one of the best teams you look back at it and ever assembled. So who knows what will happen with the next couple international tournaments coming up, so.
Oh man, such fun memories. Such fun. Well, guys, I'll tell you what, we're into December now. It's December 1st, so let's look ahead to what the Kings are going to be facing here in the month of December. And starting right off, while recording on Wednesday, so tomorrow night, Daryl Sutter comes back to town. And I'll tell you what, pardon the pun, but his Calgary Flames are red hot. Yes. See, I had to steal your dad joke, Thunder.
That was good. I liked it.
Had to, you know?
Yeah, Sutter back for the first time since 2017. And the Flames, I looked it up. We were talking about it before the show. You know, they've already recorded 7 shutouts this year.
Man.
So they're obviously the league's best defensive team. So goals are going to be hard to come by. Against the Flames tomorrow night, and then doesn't really get much easier going from there. I did an article looking at just kind of the breakdown of the December schedule, and you know they'll have 3 games against really 2 teams rather that they'll be facing that have records under 500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
not going to be easy at all. And, you know, I did fail to mention that tomorrow night, too, Trevor Lewis and Milan Lucic will be coming back as well. But I think the big story here is Daryl Sutter. What's your thoughts, Russ?
Yeah, it'll be fun to see Daryl Sutter behind a stable center bench. But, yeah, he's bringing exactly the type of hockey that we saw him with the Kings. I think the Flames are you mentioned, Ryan, they're playing real good defensive hockey right now. So it's going to be a tough slog, especially for other teams. I mean, if you're a betting man, I'd be betting the unders in every game that the Kings and Flames play each other for this season. I mean, I can't imagine a lot of goals being scored. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough game against the Calgary Flames tomorrow.
Yeah, now that you say that, it'll be 7-6 tomorrow night.
Yeah, I know, of course.
The whole month is going to be very telling, in my opinion, of kind of what the Kings are going to do at the turn of the calendar. You know, let's say they win just the three games against Vancouver and Arizona and they lose the rest of them. Are they sellers then again at the March 21st deadline? Are they selling off Dustin Brown? Are they selling off Athanasiou?
Quick.
I'd have to look at the rest of their pending RFAs and UFAs, but I thought Brown was the only one.
Brown, Athanasiou is one.
He's got another year after this.
It is going to be Edler. We'll see if teams look at a player like Edler.
Oh, yeah, Edler. That's
especially
right.
Going to be sought after in terms of his leadership. But, yeah, I mean, December is going to be a really telling month for the Kings. You're presumably going to have the Olympic break in February. So you're really going to only have December and January to really evaluate the team as if they're going to actually be contenders going into the playoffs. I mean, hopefully if Byfield comes back and makes an impact and is the player that we all think that he will be, that'll help the third line tremendously. I mean, you slot him right there. That's just another added size element. I mean, that the Kings have been lacking. So, I mean, just his reach alone is probably one of the best in the NHL. So it's going to be a huge month or a big month for the Kings coming up. I kind of want to stop you guys here because Scott Wheeler actually just tweeted something. He got off the phone with team management group led by James Boyd. And he said, in terms of Brent Clark's situation, he said, "We're building a team that's able to compete any way you want, and we recognize Brant as a great player, and he has a specific skill set. I think that Brant's an exciting player for Hockey Canada in the future, but we're going to celebrate the players that we've determined are going to give the coaches the most flexibility to create a team for those situations." So that's Hockey Canada's response, I guess, to the omission.
I'm gonna have to mute myself. And
so they,
it's still baffling.
So they use a lot of words to say nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. But I thought it was funny that he's a great player and he has a specific skill set. I'm not sure.
He just has too much offense for us.
Russ, make one of those Drake memes where it's like, where he does like the no and then yes or whatever. Let's see that after the pod.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I tell you, though, I mean.
Great player, not coming.
Yeah.
I tell you, you know, it's amazing, though, guys, just how much the Arizona loss changed the complexion of everything, mm-hmm. right? We were just talking a couple weeks ago that all the Kings had to do was tread water until mm-hmm. Doughty came back and Byfield came back, and they were going to be okay. And now all of a sudden, it just seemed after that Arizona loss, because you know what? Yeah, we were probably kind of expecting them to lose to Washington and Carolina. Those were palatable losses. You can accept that, right? Then you lose to Arizona. And now all of a sudden, it was almost like Chicken Little, the sky is falling again. And yeah, they came back yesterday and they got a point out of that, what could have been a complete disaster. But the fact of the matter is Anaheim got the extra point.
Yeah.
And now Anaheim's playing out of their minds, right? They got to try to track them down. Got to try to track the Flames down. Vegas is eventually going to get healthy again. Edmonton's playing great this year. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a tough road to go. I mean, in this, you know what? This month, I think, is basically make or break for the entire season. And I hate to say that in the middle of the year. I hate to say that.
But it is.
The way everybody else is playing, and now this brutal schedule.
Yeah, and they also play the Wild, too, are playing great hockey right now. Great contributions from Ryan Hartman, who's looking like Kaprizov this year.
Yeah, I picked him up in my fantasy team.
Yeah, he's playing really well.
It's just hard right now. I mean, when you watch the Kings, you brought in Deneau to be that defensive shutdown player, and so you can open up offense for Kopitar, and we saw that happen for the first few games. But I mean, Kopitar's he's racking up some points, but it's almost like he's been still kind of quiet. But it's just because Dustin Brown, you saw the goal last night, which has been great, but he really hasn't been the type of player that he's been. So, I mean, it's just you just hope that Arthur Kaliev eventually gets a look on the top six for a longer period of time than he did for the first, like, for the few games that he got earlier in the season. I mean, pair him with Deneau, pair him with Kopitar, just give him a longer look to see what he can bring. I mean, his expected goal percentage is relatively good in terms of the rest of the team. So give him a chance. He's an elite goal scorer, or he's a goal scorer that the Kings desperately needed. I mean, or need right now and going forward. So we'll see what the lineup looks like going for the rest of the month or the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I mean, if it does go bad for the month of December, maybe that'll be the catalyst for them to decide, okay, we're going to put Kelly in the top six, see what happens. We're going to bring Turcotte up and see what he can bring. Because you know what? At that point, if it's going to be that hard to get back into the playoff race, what have you got to lose?
Yeah.
I hate to think negative like that. I do. I can't stand it. But it's just, you know, right now looking at
this. Oh, yeah. I mean, you might as well get a look at some of your other guys. I mean, I don't want to pick on him, but one guy that's been kind of needs to get going is Trevor Moore.
Yeah.
I need to see more from him. No pun intended.
I was going to say, dead joke.
I like how it went dead quiet after I said that. And I didn't even mean to.
Well, because I don't have the thing that goes, womp, womp.
It came out and then my eyes were like, oh, that was a dad joke.
Yeah, it's tough because the game last night, I'm watching it. And you think about if you're a Kings fan, you see Trevor Zegras doing all these ridiculous things between the legs, hitting the puck out
between the legs.
And then all I can keep thinking is I get these notifications, Alex Turcotte with a goal in the AHL. I'm like, okay, when is he going to get a look? Yeah. I mean, it's just hard. It's just you keep hearing about this ridiculous prospect pool. And like I mentioned, it's just some Christmas presents that you just see under the tree, but you can never play with until presumably whenever Santa decides it's time. So, hopefully that's soon.
Yeah, because you know what? There is such a thing as letting them percolate a little bit too long, too. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before.
And then they
know?
Get upset.
It's like having this great meal that you're like, oh, man, I can't wait. You put it in the oven, and then you leave it in for too long, and then it's ruined.
You guys and your analogies, man.
I know, right? Well, we have to count your dad jokes. We have to count your dad jokes.
But, I mean, I tweeted it out after he was called up, but, you know, Philip Roberg made his debut with the Oilers. That leaves Alex Turcotte as the only member of the 2019 top 10 draft class to have yet to have made his NHL debut.
Man, that's got it.
I understand he's had some injuries along the way that set him back and stuff, but the other guys are moving along now.
Yeah, and you see some of these like prospects like Durzi who's come up and made an immediate impact. I mean, you're just like, okay, why don't we just keep bringing these young guns up who, I mean, and that's exactly what the Ducks have done. They haven't held back. They had Mason McTavish even get a couple games. Look at Jeremy Drysdale is playing top pair minutes. Trevor Zegras is the second-line center now for that team. I mean, they're not playing great defensively, but it's an exciting game to watch as opposed
to – I mean, the way they've helped Troy Terry's game.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just they're opening up and the fans are enjoying it. And here are the Kings playing this 1-3-1 style of boring hockey that I just hate to watch. It's just – bring some excitement at least. I mean, even if you play the kids and they lack a little bit defensively, I mean, who knows? I mean, at least they'd probably bring a little bit more excitement. The fans can enjoy watching the future be developed right before their eyes.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The one thing I really like about Turcotte's game that I think he could bring a lot to this team is he stands in front of the net. How many times do you see Matt Roy or whoever wind up from the blue line and the goalie has clear sight of the puck? The Kings are getting just this tremendous shot volume. You know, I think they had 18 shots in the first period last night. And, you know, none of them were really contested. Turcotte had his golden goal at the World Juniors last year because he was right in front of the net. Chipped it in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's totally agree. Isn't that how, like, almost all the goals were scored yesterday's game. I mean, even the Grundstrom goal. I mean, you just had players standing in front of the net, traffic. And, Scott, we mentioned this on the last pod that we did. The Kings have the worst shooting percentage in the NHL since 2018. I mean, and that's exactly where they're just throwing pucks on net with no traffic. They're not getting those high-quality chances that they should be getting. And we saw what can happen last night when you get traffic in front of the net. You disrupt, you just throw pucks on net with bodies that are able to deflect pucks, or you just bump players around. I mean, that just needs to happen more and more.
Disrupt the sight line, or at least make the goalie nervous that if he coughs up a rebound, he's in danger of it going in the back of his net.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I messaged you guys last night, you know, put somebody in front of the net.
And look what happens.
Yeah. 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 He mentioned put somebody in front of the net, then he fell asleep.
And he's gone.
And he's gone.
And he's in front of the net. All right.
wake me up when that happens.
Oh, well, guys, I do believe that's about all the time we've got for this episode. I know, Ryan, that you actually have to go be an adult. So that's a. so we do feel sorry for you, but but anyways, like I said, the Calgary Flames are coming to town tomorrow night, and I don't know, you know what, the post game presser with Daryl Sutter might be more interesting than the game itself.
Let's see what he draws tomorrow.
I'm gonna try to sneak into that one. That should be fun to watch.
are you going to that one, Russ?
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow.
Okay, cool.
Oh, please keep us updated.
I will.
All righty. Well, hey, listen, fun episode, guys.
That was fun.
I think we've covered everything. We've covered dad jokes. We've covered old school wrestling tag teams. We've got it covered.
We made up words on the spot. We just did it all.
I know it. Where else are you going to find entertainment like that? Don't ask. But anyways, that's all we got. So for Ryan Sykes, for Russell Morgan, I'm Scott Kimball. Thanks for listening, and go Kings go.
See you guys.